Let's now turn to the portion of God's Word that we read in Matthew chapter number 6. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 6. And we shall read again from verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And especially this morning I would direct our attention, as we might be enabled, to meditate on this passage to verse 11. Especially in Matthew chapter number 6. Give us this day our daily bread. And this is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. It is a form of prayer, and it is a prayer that is very worthwhile studying, and very much so when we think about God's people, because the Lord's people in every day and every generation are a praying people. And when we have counsel given to us, if you like, and direction given to us by the head of the church himself in respect of prayer, then obviously we are to pay the more earnest heed to what Jesus himself teaches us in regard to prayer. And so he gives us this petition, give us this day our daily bread. And as we well know, the prayer, what we term the Lord's Prayer, is found within a sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount, that was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So all of the teaching of Jesus in this sermon is very precious and very profound. What we have here in Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount is the longest sustained discourse that we have in the Bible, the words of Jesus. And so there's very much to interest us in connection with this particular passage of the Bible. Well, give us this day our daily bread. We are to take our daily concerns in prayer to God. And this is the privilege, in particular, of God's dear people who can come to their Father who is in heaven with even their temporal cares and their temporal concerns. What a privilege, friends, that is. In our catechism, we read in the shorter catechism, the question put, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. That of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy his blessing with them. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, we come then to the subject, as the Lord may be pleased to help us on this occasion to consider it, of daily prayer for daily needs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And we should note the following, we will note the following matters in connection with this text within its context. Firstly, the person who encourages his disciples so to pray. The person who encourages his disciples so to pray. Someone is speaking here. Who is that person that is speaking, whose words have been set down here in Holy Scripture. Secondly, the place of this petition within the prayer as a whole. Remember that this is one of several petitions within what we call the Lord's Prayer, and we wish to take notice of its position within the prayer itself. And finally, the petition itself and what it teaches us. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, firstly, the person who encourages his disciples so to pray. Secondly, the place of this petition within the prayer as a whole. And finally, the petition itself and what it teaches us. Well, we see that these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of one who is exceeding great and whose words are authoritative and whose words certainly are to be heeded. And of course, we have to go some way back to find who is at the beginning of the discourse itself, where we read of what we call the Beatitudes in verses 3 through to, 11-12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so on, down through these Beatitudes. And what an unusual, we would say, way to begin a sermon. But when we study this sermon, we see that from first even to last, it is stamped with authority. The authority of the Son of God. He opened his mouth, verse 2 of chapter 5 in Matthew, and taught them, saying. When Jesus opened his mouth on this occasion, then it was specifically indeed for teaching. And therefore, those who were hearing, in the first instance the disciples, but also the multitudes that listened into what was being said, but particularly the disciples, if Jesus opened his mouth for teaching, then they ought to have their ears open for hearing and hearkening and considering what he had to say from first even to last in this discourse. Now, just look back into chapter 4, because there we find the reference to the name of the Savior so that we identify explicitly the one who is speaking here. Verse 23 in chapter 4. Here is the person who says to his people, give us this day, and teaches them so to pray to their Father which is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, verse 23 in chapter 4 in Matthew, went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, among other things, give us this day our daily bread. And when we look at the wider context there, you see, do we not, the Son of God in our nature, we witness one who is the great prophet of the church. We witness one who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, who is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We witness to one and see one who is preaching, who is teaching, I should say, verse 23, and preaching, speaking authoritatively, in other words, the gospel of the kingdom, and he is healing. He is bearing witness to his power as the Son of God in the healing of the sick, in the healing of the sick, in the casting out of devils. And then what is interesting is then to compare what we read there at the end of chapter 4 with what we read in chapter 8 of Matthew. And there we find a number of miracles performed by Jesus. He is the one who is speaking. He is speaking with authority, and he is healing and blessing and helping and delivering with authority. He cleanses the leper. He heals the sick of the palsy. He rebukes the fever, and it leaves Peter's wife's mother. He casts out the devils. He stills the storm, and does many wonderful works, does he not? So much so that we read in there in verse 16 of chapter 8, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, you see, here is the one then whose words we are to consider on this occasion. He is exceeding great. He is exceeding glorious. The end of the discourse that he has here in this Sermon on the Mount, then we read the astonishment of the people at the end of chapter 7, that it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so here he is. He's distinct from the scribes in his teaching. He is distinct from the scribes in his working miracles. He is distinct from the scribes in so many ways. He is exceeding great. He is exceeding glorious. He is the one who is born of the Virgin Mary in the fulfillment of Scripture promise in chapter 1 of Matthew, where we read, behold, a virgin, this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And it is this person then, it is Emmanuel, who is giving us this prayer, the Lord's prayer, who is giving to his people this petition that they are to employ. Give us this day, they are to say to their Father which is in heaven, our daily bread. He is revealing to his people their privilege as the children of God. Well, what a glorious person. And how great is his authority then in this sermon as a whole, and in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as a particular part of this wider discourse. Well, are we to hear this person then today? Of course we are. We are to consider his words. We are to consider this petition of the Lord's Prayer. And why are we to do so? Not only because he is the Son of God and clothed with authority, as we have noted, but because he is the Son of Man. He is one who was much in prayer to his Father in heaven himself. And therefore, when he speaks on the subject of prayer, then he speaks with great dignity, speaks with great experience, we would say with reverence, when, for example, we find in Luke's Gospel that he was so fond of prayer and so in love with prayer as a holy man, that we read there in Luke chapter number 6, for example, in verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is why he went to the mountain. It was for to pray. When was the last time that you did that? And that I did that? Sometimes we might go for a walk. We may behold the beauty of God's creation, and we may be led to pray. But Jesus, when he went out, purposely for to pray. Are we as purposeful in our prayer life? Do we purpose to pray? Do we find a delight in prayer? Do we continue in prayer at times? Well, Jesus sets us the example here. This occasion was not what he did at all times, of course, but this is a specific occasion that identifies, we believe, a wider life of prayer in the life of the man Christ Jesus. He continued all night, we read, in prayer to God. And then verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. You see, there was a time for prayer there when he was choosing the disciples. He was conscious of the great need there was for prayer at that time. And so, in our lives and in our experiences, there are times very definitely when we are to be very pointed, very conscious, more than ordinarily, that God is calling me to prayer. God is calling me to pray more earnestly and more specifically for this thing or that. Well, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. He being one who continued much in prayer. And very earnestly, we would say at times in prayer, that there's another teaching we have from the prayer life of Christ. He was exceeding earnest in prayer. He viewed the matter of prayer very seriously, very profoundly. So we read, for example, in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 26, there in verse 39, the trial that he had in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went a little further. We read in verse 39 of chapter 26 in Matthew, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then if we go down to verse 42, then we find again that he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then again in verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Now, what strikes me here on this occasion is these words that he, the connection between he and prayed. He prayed. He prayed. And also, given his teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount in respect of the Father which is in the Father in heaven, we find that this was a consciousness that the Savior had. As God's dear Son, he prayed to his Father in heaven. So he prayed. And what is interesting to observe when we connect Matthew and the account, what we've emphasized there, that he prayed, when we come to Acts in chapter 1, and we observe there in chapter 1 of Acts, and chapter verse 24, what do we find there? And they prayed, and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Here is an important matter. Exceedingly important. And they prayed. He prayed, and they prayed. You see, the disciple is to follow the example of his or her master. And so God's people, obviously, according to the teaching of Jesus, even in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, they are to be a praying people. They are to be those who embrace the wonderful privilege and benefit and blessing that they have as the children of God, that they have God as their Father by regeneration and by adoption. Our Father which art in heaven. This is what Jesus teaches. So he prayed, and when we come to this particular petition, just before I move on to the second point of the sermon, give us this day our daily bread, one might also observe how qualified, we would say with reverence, the Savior was to suggest such a petition for his disciples. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, many of the disciples of Jesus are poor and they are needy. Some are even in poverty. Well, when we turn to the life of the Savior, whilst he was in this world, he was exceeding poor, comparative to others who were in his day. He had no house to call his own. He lived off the goodwill of his disciples, and they lived and he lived off the almsgiving of those who followed. And so Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. We have an high priest, do we not, who can indeed sympathize and who knows the case of the poor and the afflicted and the needy among his people. When we read of that incident when he said to Peter to cast in a hook and then there would come forth a fish which would be caught and the coin would be found within its mouth. Jesus did not go to some bag of his own to pluck out the coin. Again, we read in regard to the question as to the lawfulness of taxes and giving to Caesar, Jesus says, show me a coin. He doesn't go to his own bag, pluck out the coin. He is poor. He is a poor man. He came exceeding low in his humiliation, so that even the poor, even the poverty-stricken among his disciples would be able to know that there was one who sympathized with them. Sometimes their own fellow disciples cannot sympathize with them, but Jesus Christ, in his holy humanity, was one who was poor and lived off the good will of those who gave to him in the providence of God. Well, secondly, we have this matter of the place of this petition within the prayer as a whole. And this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is a much studied prayer. Godly men have written whole books on this prayer. Ministers have preached whole series of sermons on it, perhaps even dwelling upon the various petitions for a number of sermons. There is so much teaching within it. It is a prayer that Christ, after all, taught his disciples. One who is endued with heavenly wisdom. Is it any wonder then that there is much to study from first to last? But we just make some simple points that might be helpful to us before we come to the petition itself. Let us think about its place within this prayer as a whole. Where is it situated? How does the prayer begin? After this manner, he says, therefore pray ye. He is speaking to his disciples. He is saying, this is your privilege. This is something that you are to consider. Your relationship to God through me. Our Father, which art in heaven. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. And so we learn there is one that we are to address ourselves to. And so we learn, friends, there is one that is exceedingly, infinitely, indeed, higher than we are. We are to learn, indeed, there is one who is clothed with majesty and glory, who is in heaven. Isn't this an amazing thing? That the children of God here in this congregation, the Lord's dear people, have this privilege of one who is their Father, who is in heaven. Who is in heaven. And is it not true that they are hoping to go to heaven? Isn't it true that they are living this life here on earth as those who are striving to enter heaven. And their Father is in heaven. And they are privileged to address themselves to him. And even to address themselves to this level of saying, give us this day our daily bread, to bring their temporal needs, cares and wants, however small, to him who is in heaven. Oh, how privileged the Lord's people are here today. How privileged they are to be reconciled to God and to have the spirit of adoption whereby they cry, Abba, Father. And then we have the first petition. What is it? What is your first petition when you come to God in prayer? What is my first petition? Well, sometimes, friends, we have to humble ourselves and we have to acknowledge. Sometimes when cares press upon us, when troubles are spread before us, we come immediately and say to the Lord, help me in this trouble, help me in this concern, help me in this care. And there is a degree where that is understandable. We are in the flesh and troubles press us sore. And there may be a time when that is quite appropriate in a way. But what is the teaching of this prayer? The teaching of this prayer is that in coming to God, let us begin with God. And not so much with ourselves. That in coming to God, let us acknowledge his greatness. That we may, practically speaking, be strengthened to bring in faith our cares before him the more pointedly and with hope. Hallowed be thy name. May thy name, it is a petition, may thy name be holy. May thy name be reverenced. May thy name be hallowed. This is the prayer that Christ taught his disciples. Before you come to this business of your daily bread, give us this day our daily bread. This is a petition that the poorest child of God may employ. And we can think of the poverty-stricken believer in the utmost extremity of need, praying this day, I don't have my daily bread and give it to me. But he must begin by reverencing the name of God. She must begin by acknowledging the greatness of God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And not just rush into his presence, but as Moses did in his situation, as he was instructed to do, to take the shoes from off his feet, the ground whereon he stood was holy ground. And why was that? Because he was coming near to God, and God was coming near to him. Hallowed be thy name. Is this what we are doing in prayer? We are coming near to God. He is coming near to us. It is a mighty thing. Hallowed be thy name. May thy name be hallowed. Ah, but then do we say, now I've said that. Now I've given God his glorious and holy place in heaven, and his name is hallowed. Now I can come and bring this petition. Give me this day my daily bread. It's my daily bread. It's really urgent. It's really important to me. It's a tremendous need that is pressing sore upon me. I shall not delay. Ah, but the Lord says, you must delay somewhat. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Hey, this must be more important even than my daily bread. Thy kingdom come. And so the disciple is to hallow the name of his Father, her Father which is in heaven. He or she is to petition and have a care and an interest in prayer for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ, that it may come. That Satan's kingdom, as the Catechism goes on to explain, that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed, the kingdom of grace blessed, and ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and the kingdom of glory may be hastened. Thy kingdom come. The needs of the church. The blessing of the gospel. The spread of the gospel. The spread of the word of God. The conversion of sinners. These things are to be prayed for. And even before our daily bread, they are to be very, these interests of the cause of Christ are to be so dear to us. Thy kingdom come. Verse 10 again. We come to the third petition. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yes. Desire. Desire indeed that God's will would be done. As of course it shall be done. But the disciple is to pray and to hope and to desire that God's will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will would be performed even as it is in heavens. There's no note there are none to resist that will in heaven. And oh, that there would be none. Oh, that's just what the child of God is praying. Oh, that men would lay down the weapons of their warfare. Oh, that for myself, I would be subdued to the extent that I would be acknowledging, even at times of trouble and difficulty, desirous that God's will would be done. And then we come to this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. What follows then? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, when you study this prayer, you see that it divides itself into two, in a way. In terms of the petitions, there are six petitions. The first three take to do with God himself. And notice this. What do we read? Thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will. It's the first three petitions. Thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. There's nothing of me. There's nothing of my. There's nothing of our there. Then in the next three petitions, we read of our bread, our debts, and if you like, although we don't have it in that way, but our temptations. These are things that we are concerned about for ourselves. Thy name, thy kingdom, thy will, our bread, our debts, our temptations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then, as you can see, when we look at verses 11, 12, and 13, verse 11 takes to do particularly with temporal concerns, our daily bread. And then there are two petitions in respect of spiritual things. Forgiveness of sin, forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors, and leading not into temptation, but deliverance from evil. And again, that gives us a weight, does it not? That our spiritual concerns are to be of greater importance even than our temporal concerns. But we come then thirdly to this petition itself and what it teaches. But one more point just before we pass on is to connect verse 9, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, with the concluding words, of course, of the prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What do we learn here from first to last? In prayer we begin with God and we end with God. We begin with a desire for his glory, hallowed be thy name. We conclude with this, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And amen. And so there's that connection between the beginning and the ending of prayer. But of course, in prayer we are to offer up our desires unto God. And we cannot do that without petition. And indeed we may, as we see from verse 11, we may bring even our temporal cares to God in prayer. And as we pass through this world, this is very needful because we have many cares. We have many concerns. We have many things that impact upon us. And these things may alter as our circumstances alter from day to day. What a blessing it is that Jesus then teaches us. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, you sometimes meet with people who are rather reluctant to bring small things to God in prayer. They think that's rather out of place. That's not necessary. God is in heaven. What does he care about our concerns of any small sort? But Jesus is teaching us here, yes, even daily bread. Even that is to be brought in prayer before God, our need even of that simple matter. Because after all, as Paul teaches there in Acts chapter 17, in him we live and move and have our being. Why are we so to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. Because in so doing, we acknowledge our entire dependence upon God. The Lord's people acknowledge their relationship to their Father who is in heaven, who delights to hear their voice in prayer to him. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus knows the mind of God. I and my Father are one, he says. He is that one who is wisdom personified. He has that wisdom that is divine. He knows the mind of God, and he says to his disciples, after this manner, pray thee, including this petition, give us this day our daily bread. Now, you see, all we have, as one writer puts it, is from the hand of God's royal bounty. All we have is from the hand of God's royal bounty. Give us. Look at the way this petition begins. Give us something we haven't earned. We don't deserve. It's a gift. But oh, that it would be given. Now, we're not to, of course, isolate this petition. We are to really definitely place it in its context as we have done. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's not a demanding. It's a reverential coming to God with a holy boldness and encouragement. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, there are several things that we are taught here, and I want to go through some of them. It's not an exhaustive list, I shouldn't think. What are we taught? We are taught here. Well, one thing is that we are taught by Jesus Christ in this petition is we are to depend upon God day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the repetition here. It's not the word bread. It's not the word us. But if you like, it's the word day. Daily. Day. This day. We are to depend, God's people are to depend upon their Father who is in heaven day by day. And when we come to the end of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus gives the great commission, he says concerning himself that he will be with his disciples as they go to preach his word day by day. He says, lo, I am with you always. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I am with you, and the word is all the days. All the days. Days of adversity, days of prosperity, all the days. Give us this day, day by day, our daily bread. We are to depend upon God day by day. The second lesson that we are to learn and what we are taught is that we are to be daily, therefore, in prayer to God. It's a simple lesson, but a practical one. If we are to if we have daily need of daily bread, and if Jesus says, this is a petition that I would have you to bring to your Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, does this not by implication suggest to you and me that not a day should pass in the life of the child of God, but he or she is in prayer? Of course, we hope it is not being said. Some here, well, I should pray. I didn't pray to God yesterday. I wonder if I should pray to him tomorrow. The mark, here's a mark of the Lord's people, surely is that day by day, they feel their need of coming to God in prayer. To be daily in prayer to God. What does the psalmist say? I early will direct my prayer to thee, and looking up, an answer will expect. That is what is inferred here. Give us this day our daily bread. Surely Jesus is not teaching his disciples to pray thus, day by day, and not holding out at the same time the great hope and expectation that they shall be heard. So here is encouragement to be daily in prayer to God. And indeed to daily give thanks and to return thanks. Give us this day our daily bread, just as we've said. Is Jesus suggesting that this is a fruitless task, or is it more likely to be fruitful? Day by day, our daily bread. Let us give thanks. Does not Jesus teach in this same Sermon on the Mount that if we, being evil, know how to give gifts to our children, how much more will your Father, what does he say here in chapter 7, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, verse 9, chapter 7 in Matthew, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And compare what we have there with what we have in this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread? Give us this day our daily bread. If his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Now we know, of course, that when Jesus speaks here in verse 11, our daily bread, is this much more encompassed than bread, although that may be the case with many of the Lord's people, that they are daily actually praying for bread, their necessary food. That is surely encompasses our needs and our concerns and our circumstances day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, we are daily to give thanks and that to God who gives us our daily bread. The fourth point that we may make by way of teaching is that we are to appreciate, are we not, that our circumstances change. But God does not change. Give us this day our daily bread. Our circumstances may change. Our circumstances one day may be very different the next. The needs of today are not the needs of yesterday, nor of tomorrow. And so Jesus says, this is what you are to pray. You are to come each day, and you are to daily bring your needs to God, your Father which is in heaven, saying, give us this day our daily bread. In my own family, just to give an illustration of how days change, my little son in kindergarten, on Thursday, the end of the school day, there was an upset, there were tears, it was difficult for him. Then the next day, it was all better, there were no tears. And he had a merit card for his work done at the school. And the teacher made the point to my wife, every day is a new day in kindergarten. Every day is a new day and the children. A different day. And we can apply that to our families, those with children, those at home. Every day is a new day. And those who are older, the cares that you have now at this stage in your life are different from the cares you had when you had little children of your own, perhaps. But here's your privilege. As your circumstances have altered, as the daily bread is very different, perhaps, at this stage in life, your Heavenly Father has not changed. He's still able to supply your needs out of his fullness, out of his riches. He is in heaven. There's no lack of power with him. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. How privileged God's people are. Think of Daniel. Everything is going well for him in the kingdom of Babylon. Everything even continues to go well for him even when he comes under the rule of Persia. And then some wicked people take to do with him. And the prayer is outlawed. And Daniel, by the grace of God, this is a new day. This has not happened before in my life. Things have changed. Rules have changed. And here I am. And I'm in strife and difficulty. But he opens up his door. He continues to pray. He has such a value on prayer. He sees the need of it so much in his busy life that he must continue to pray. And then he is cast into the pit of the lions. He is cast out as though he were a wicked person. This is a great difficulty, it would appear. But, you see, no doubt he continued in prayer. These were trying times. But the Lord heard him. Joseph, likewise, we read again and again, the Lord was with Joseph, whether in his father's house, in Potiphar's house, in the prison, in the court of Pharaoh. Certainly it is implied, is it not, strongly, in all of these places, the Lord was very much with him. Well, the next point to make is that we are to adopt a public spirit in prayer. Give us this day. He does not say give me this day. Give us this day. Of course, there are needs that we do bring as individual believers before our Father in heaven. But even supposing we were in poverty and need, surely we would know it is not only me, it is not only I who have needs, but my brethren have needs also. Largeness of heart is encouraged by Christ. The communion of saints is encouraged even in this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. I recognize, the child of God may say, I am in great poverty, I am in great distress and need, but so are many of my fellow believers in this land and others. A public spirit then is very much encouraged in this petition, as in others here in this prayer. Are we not to avoid another point, anxious care? This day, our daily bread. Here is something, isn't it? Give us this day, even although it is that, as we say, at the last minute, we are not to be overly anxious. Give us this day, our daily bread. It may be like that, and it has been like that with some. This day, our daily bread. Of course, there is teaching very much even in this chapter about God's fatherly care for his people, how he clothes the grass of the field, how he cares for the birds of the air, the fowls of the air. Well, what does he say there? Behold the fowls of the air, verse 26. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yes, in respect of this, that you are taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread, to your Father in heaven, child of God, here today. Well, then, further 2 points of teaching. One is that many of God's people are poor. Is it not so? Give us this day our daily bread. When we think about the Christian church throughout history, when we think about many believers in other lands, we would suggest that perhaps even the majority of the Lord's people are in poverty and in need. And indeed all of them, even those who are wealthy and rich, they have their needs, they have their concerns, their cares too. Give us this day our daily bread. And the final point is that we would live each day as if it were our last, that we would not be counting upon tomorrow. Give us this day, says Jesus, our daily bread. This day, our daily bread. As Thomas Watson the Puritan writes, give me rather a heart full of grace than a house full of gold. That's the reality, isn't it? As we mentioned earlier, what comes before, what comes after? The great weight is on the glory of God, and even in what comes after this petition, by way of further petition, the emphasis surely is upon spiritual wants being even more significant and important than temporal needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, this petition is rich with comfort for the Lord's people. It is rich with teaching. It is rich with encouragement and consolation for the children of God here today. Especially when we think of the nations being shaken, spreading sickness in the earth. Men wondering what the end of these things shall be. How good then the Lord's people may bring their daily needs in daily prayer to their Father who is in heaven. And it is Jesus who is teaching thus. And the question is then for those of us who may not be able in truth, and you know it, you have to admit it and say, this is not my privilege, this is not my relationship to God. God is my creator. He shall be my judge. He is my judge. My conscience tells me that. The word of God tells me that. I do not know God as my Father. Friend, think of what you are missing. But don't stop there. Think of the Savior who can bring you to God in peace. Think of the Savior who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to God but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, may we then come to God through him, and so coming, join with others who are able to say with warmth and with nearness to God, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. May we pray. Let us stand for prayer. Most blessed, most gracious, most upright one, Lord, be gracious to us. Sometimes our needs press heavily upon us, and we feel in despair, weighed down. But may we reflect upon the privilege of thy people to bring their daily necessities and needs to thee, with the hope that they will be heard for the sake of Christ. And we plead, O Lord, that we would be not resting satisfied in knowing thee as our Creator, but that we would be eminently desiring, having heard the Lord's Prayer read and preached upon again, oh, that we would be desirous to know thee as our Father in heaven. We would be drawing near to thee through Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That we would be coming boldly to that throne of grace. And we would be pleading for mercy. For salvation is the gift of God. And we pray that we might receive so great a gift as those who are entirely conscious that we can pay nothing to receive such a gift. Nor is this required of us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Help us to hear the words of Jesus, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. O do thou quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. Work in us by thy Spirit. Take us to our homes safely. Come out with us at the evening service. Bless us one and all. Forgive us for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.